The Surgeon General estimates that 1 in 10 young Americans will have a serious mental illness at some point, but a shortage of treatment facilities is keeping a number of children from getting the psychiatric help they need. Insiders have a term for these children. They're called stuck kids. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
Angela Franco has tried everything she could think of to keep her 13-year-old son Mike at home and keep him safe. As Angela empties the dishwasher, everything she takes out is plastic.
It's a different level of childproofing that most people would never go through.
Angela's house has been carefully stripped of all glass. There are no vases, no framed pictures on the walls, just random holes where fists have flown during Mike's outbursts. In the first years of his life, before he was adopted by Angela, Mike was physically abused. He was hit, locked in a closet, and denied food. Today, after years of therapy and different medications, Mike still sometimes hoards food in his room. He has serious issues around security, and he can't stand to deal with uncertainty around anything.
I had never seen such anxiety as I have seen with my son. Like, you know, when's dinner? What are we having? You know, if you were to say macaroni and cheese, well, how many noodles am I having? How many peas will it have in it? Where am I going to sit? You know, it's just uncontrollable anxiety.
His anxiety often erupts in violence. Mike will bite and kick and throw things at his brothers, and he's tried several times to jump out of a moving car. Angela and her husband, who've asked that their real names not be used, have installed locks on every door inside the house, and they've had to stay up all night, sleeping in shifts, to try to keep Mike and their other two boys safe.
Literally, my husband and I would have cell phones in our pocket, and he would sleep upstairs and I would sleep down. So it's really just exhausting. And we have had to act as a hospital would here at home. And it shouldn't be necessary.
But Angela says it has been necessary to keep Mike at home because the psychiatric hospitals have been too full to take him. Over the last few years, she says she's been turned away from the hospital 10 different times. The last time, she ended up taking Mike to the emergency room. Her voice still strains as she recalls the 3 days Mike spent there.
You know, here he is. He doesn't have his own clothes. He's sitting in a Johnny, you know, sort of bright fluorescent lights, you know, policemen, ambulance people, all sorts of people in and out. And then you add that this is a child who probably has memories of seeing policemen in other ways. And the anxiety is just so uncontrollable.
Indeed, even at the most esteemed hospitals, like Children's Hospital in Boston, kids with serious psychotic episodes are routinely left in the ER.
We see ourselves as on the front lines of a silent crisis.
Dr. William Beardsley is chair of psychiatry at Children's Hospital. He calls it immoral that kids who need psychiatric help are not getting it.
I think we're causing an undue burden of suffering to the children and to their parents. It's just not conscionable to have illnesses that we can treat and to not treat them.
The illnesses run the gamut from serious depression to severe psychosis. There are kids who are suicidal, kids who have eating disorders and weigh a fraction of what they should, and teens who seemingly out of the blue develop symptoms of schizophrenia. These kids all need to be in a hospital at first, but once they're out of immediate danger, many still need round-the-clock care that they can't get at home. And that's where the problem is. There are not enough places for them to go. Basically, kids can't get in the front door of hospitals because other kids can't get out the back door. Lisa Lambert of the Massachusetts chapter of the national advocacy group Families for Children's Mental Health calls it a national problem.
There are places in Oregon where they're looking 3 states away for hospital beds. There are kids in Connecticut that are waiting and waiting for different kinds of services. There's a long wait list in New York for kids looking for residential programs. This isn't unique to Massachusetts. It's more severe in some states than in others.
In the locked psychiatric ward of Boston's Children's Hospital, 2 young boys are playing in a small rec room.
I'm being sarcastic. I'm being serious.
The ward is almost always full, but Dr. Pat Abbott, who runs the unit, says at least a third of the kids here are stuck. Often, Abbott says, the experience can re-traumatize a child. For example, a child who was suicidal can slide back into depression.
It's very frustrating for them. It's very hard for them to see other kids come and go, and for them to be aware that there's a problem finding a place for them to go. It's very hard.
Last year, lawmakers allocated an extra $10 million to expand residential treatment programs for kids who are stuck. But so far, it's only added about 70 new beds. Now, attorney Steve Schwartz is hoping a class action lawsuit will motivate the state to do more.
The children have a legal right to the mental health services that we're talking about. Massachusetts is violating that right consistently and persistently.
But Massachusetts Commissioner of Mental Health Mary Lou Sutters says progress has been made and the state will do more. But she says it's not just the state's fault. The problem is rooted in a society that still sees mental illness as less important than physical ailments. And that attitude is reflected in the world of private hospitals and insurers. For example, she says of the 75 private hospitals in Massachusetts, only 10 handle kids with psychiatric needs.
It's just something we would never tolerate, that a general hospital would say, we're not going to have a general medical unit. But it's okay for hospitals to not see it as part of their charitable mission to provide inpatient and outpatient psychiatric services, even when we know that mental conditions affect 1 in 10 children.
But hospitals say insurance companies pay so little, child psychiatric wards are a losing proposition. As one doctor at another Boston hospital put it, we can't even hope to break even. It all leaves parents like Angela Franco with little hope of finding a place for her son,
Mike.
I start
making my calls and I keep records of who I called and when and what's their waiting list.
For the last 2 months, Angela's son, Mike, has been stuck. After the 3 days in the ER, he went to the first psychiatric bed available, 2 hours away. Angela says the longer Mike remains trapped in the hospital, the more trouble he's having.
You know, we're just adding and adding to his problems because he wonders why did they put him here, and he's very, very angry about that. And it's very hard to watch my child go through so much pain. And these kids are losing their childhood.
Indeed, by one doctor's count, children in Massachusetts last year spent nearly 21,000 days they didn't have to in psychiatric wards. That's the equivalent of 57 years of childhood those kids will never get back. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.